When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co. Hello, everyone. I know you've been waiting for a very long time to be involved with all of the amazing things that we're doing at Rare Drop, and now is the time. We are introducing the Rare Drop Patreon, so if you've ever wanted to get involved with experimental content or being at any of our podcasts early to listen in, well, all of that is available in the new Rare Drop Patreon. Check it out.
Hey, all, Kevin here. Quick disclaimer. This is episode 33, not episode 34. We did take a week off. So this is indeed episode 33, despite us saying 34 over and over again, because our calendars for work say 34, but it's 33. But we'll get that fixed. Paul, enjoy the show.
Idiot.
Welcome to Star Wars and Scotch, episode 34. Is it 34?
34 sounds right to me, Kevin.
Okay, episode 34. Sorry about missing last week. That's on me. I had to go take care of my family. My kids and my wife needed me more than you did, so.
It's okay. I held it down.
Sorry. Tim, did you do the show solo, Tim?
I did. We had lightsaber fights.
Except he forgot to hit record, so
yeah, never... sorry about that. There was like one dude lost his arm. There was a bunch of Yinglings that were killed. It was wild, dude.
Tim just killed Yinglings and jumped around his office shirtless with his lightsaber.
There was a big sandbox, Kevin. Everybody had a great time. They got sand everywhere,
like the Star Wars kid.
Oh, wait, the one when he's using the broom and he's just
yeah,
like...
Yeah, that was you in your office last week, but you forgot to hit record.
Yeah.
Making the sound effect. Pew, pew. Anyway, welcome to episode 34 of Star Wars and Scotch, brought to you by Kings Coast Coffee, kingscoastcoffee.com. The Heartbreak Reserve is out today, and there's not a lot left, I'll tell you that much.
Really?
Yeah, they bought more than they bought the entirety of the month last year already.
Oh, crap.
So if you want, go get. Oh, I didn't put my reading glasses on. That is the oldest thing I have ever said in my life. Oh, well.
Oh, man. Hey, boomer.
Jeez. I have my looking glasses, not my reading glasses on. that'll be the Star Wars. That'll be the Patreon-only episode. Back in January, Tim recorded an episode of Star Wars and Scotch.
Oh, Kevin's not here. I have the high ground.
I hate you when you're like jumping back and forth.
Doing a backflip off my desk. Yeah.
Oh man, that mental image. Anyway, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us again. Brought to you by KingsCoastCoffee.com. We're gonna talk tonight about the Light of the Jedi book. Tim and I finished it last week. I think it's a great, great read. I think it was a very good introduction. The thing with this was there was a ton to take in. Because this the universe is familiar. The setting and the people, aside from Yoda, is completely all new to us.
Yeah.
So we understand the dynamics of the solar system, but even the Jedi are different than the Jedi we know. So there's a lot to take in while reading this book. We're introduced to new villains who we'll talk about. I gotta say, the Nihil at first, I was like, all right, they're cool. But by the end, I was like, okay, I like the Nihil now.
No, the Nihil is just like Star Wars meets Mad Max.
Yes, yes.
And I love everything about it. Like, they do drugs, and they get high, and they ride the storm, and that shit was
ride
wild.
The storm.
The book off the rip is dark AF. A lot of people die, which I was like, it's not just like an Alderaan kind of death. Everybody dies. It's like a couple systems worth of billions of people dead. Nuts, dude. Like, just like I've honestly, like, through the entirety of this book, I'm surprised on how many people died. That was so jarring for me as a Star Wars fan.
It was very interesting because they went to, you figured out who it was pretty early, but they treated it in the beginning as if it was anomalies created by natural disasters, which to me was a place Star Wars has never really gone.
Are we doing spoilers? Are we
we're talking about the book tonight.
Okay, just want to make sure.
The new book comes out tomorrow. We're going all in tonight.
Yeah. So, them using the, like, this is really cool. Them turning a frigate, this large person transporter into a accidental weapon.
I was gonna say it was an accident.
It was an accident, but they turned it into a weapon. Like, it wasn't even something that the Nihil did on purpose. And I think this is cool is we started to expand on like the really cool stuff within the Star Wars universe, like hyperspace. Like, we don't know much about hyperspace. It's always like it always felt like it was a wormhole from like Deep Space Nine. Like, that was always how I imagined, like, a hyperspace lane. It's kind of like a wormhole.
The link back to the Santecas there was so interesting. I don't know if that was available knowledge before High Republic. I didn't know that the Santecas were literally the ones who charted
really
hyperspace.
We didn't really know much. We didn't really know anything about the Santeca until Lord Santeca shows up in Episode 7.
Force Awakens, yeah.
Shall always be royalty to me.
It shall always be the.
And like, so like we like this was kind of cool to give them a backstory, and it makes sense why Santeca and Leia, like, they know each other, because I would assume it dates back farther and farther to their ties to Naboo.
Right.
So I thought that was cool to give the Santecas more.
Even though they hid their dark secret from them, they still seem to be allies of the Republic through and through.
Well, the dark secret was them knowing
Grandma.
them knowing about the non-traditional hyperspace lanes.
So,
like, everyone always assumes that it's like a point A to point B in almost a lateral line, but they're able to transverse these dirt roads to hyperspace lanes.
So, question: was Mari Santeca the one who charted all of hyperspace?
I don't know. I'm also trying to figure out if she is the equivalent to a Chiss navigator, like someone with second sight. Because like that's how I saw that a lot of the time is like, oh wow, she's like, she reminds me of someone who's a part of like the Navigator Guild. Because they actually talk a lot about that in, you haven't read the book, so you wouldn't know.
You can talk about
it. So in the Ascendancy books, they talk a lot about the Navigator Guild, and they talk more about people who can navigate the chaos. And so like the way that she is like hooked up to a nav computer and like interacting with it at a human psyche level is very, very familiar to how the Navigator pilots or the Navigator Guild members are able to navigate frigates and stuff around the Chaos. Is that that same way where they kind of like almost connect in with it, or like they're using like a force sensitivity or something like that to be able to navigate, because like you can't do it through normal controls. So I thought that was really interesting, and it felt like there was like an interesting tie back there.
So you think there'll be a connection down the road between?
I think what they're doing is they're diving deeper into the stuff that they're building.
Their description of hyperspace was wild.
It's a very different hyperspace than we've seen in other like in previous Star Wars movies and shows and books.
It's essentially your own contained universe that gets you from point A to point B.
Yeah, you essentially, I mean, it's essentially like how like a wormhole works. Like you're taking yourself out of like, it's like a, in, well, it's, so like they always make it seem like it's a long trip, right?
Right.
But the way that they explain it in this book, it was almost like, you're in a time bubble and you've removed yourself from like time and space to move across to get to the next point, which like I always thought that's how a wormhole worked. Because you're shortening space to get to a point, like a piece of paper, you're folding it in, and it's like that's different from how I've always perceived hyperspace. Like I always thought it was just like you're going really really effing fast,
mm-hmm.
and that's why the blue tubes and stuff are always there,
because
mm-hmm. It's just like a way for them to like just show that they're going like at hyperspeed, but it seems to be a lot more than that. Which I think is really cool. They're really getting into the nitty gritty, like nerdy stuff.
Oh, that makes so much more sense.
Oh, I have a question for you. What was the thing in the beginning of the book that tied into Knights of the Republic? Because I missed
Bacta.
That. Oh, that was it?
Bacta has been around in Legends lore since before they even cataloged what was going on in a galaxy far, far away.
So, but Bacta to them is something that's brand new.
Brand new, which means right there, you've changed like the entire meta of how healing works in the Old Republic. So if they do explore the Old Republic, which we'll talk about that later, because those rumors dropped again in a massive fashion last week, Bacta's not going to be a thing.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, because Bacta was... Think about in an MMO or even in an action adventure game, Bacta was always your stim, your healing agent. Mm-hmm. Like you always use Bacta to heal yourself.
Bacta's everywhere when it comes to healing in any Star Wars game.
Bacta's brand new in the High Republic. Only 300 years.
They just started figuring it out, and they started experimenting with Bacta tanks, which I was like, wait a second, that's all over Star Wars. Like a Bacta tank is like as normal as a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
In Star Wars, so I thought that was really cool. But we should talk about the Jedi stuff, because I think the Jedi tech is some of the coolest stuff I think we've ever seen in Star Wars.
I appreciated how different all of their lightsabers were and tuned to them as individuals.
Yeah, it's not just your standard I always feel like for the longest time Star Wars lightsabers until recently have always felt very generic. Like, yeah, like Darth Vader's lightsaber looks a little bit different from Obi-Wan's, and then like young Ben's a little bit different from Qui-Gon. For the most part, they're very similar. There's not a lot of variance to lightsabers. And then we get into like Darth Maul, who when we saw like our first like double bladed lightsaber, like a staff lightsaber, and then we got into seeing the Jedi guards lightsabers that were like you could hold them a couple different ways and that was neat. But this level of configuration when it comes to the hilt of a lightsaber was really, really interesting to me, because everybody's lightsaber it was described very different from everybody else's.
Very different. Also, they use their lightsabers to do things with their ships.
Okay, so I want to go back to this, and I would love to know at what point do they deviate away from do you remember the company that was making the Jedi fighters?
No.
In tech? So they talk about it, and I'm sure someone in chat will know, but I'm drawing a blank, but the company that ends up making all of the Jedi like fighters and everything.
Valkyrie?
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. At what point do they deviate from working with them, because this is probably the most like intense machinery I've ever like heard of in Star Wars when it's literally tied to the Force wielder. Like, you've never, like, outside of like a Jedi like doing like a Force push or a grab like on a control. But like for their weapon systems to be tied to the Kyber crystal was so cool. And the controls actually light up to whatever the color is of the Kyber crystal, which I also thought was really, really neat.
And was it Indira or Tiami? I can't remember who was on the one planet where they were rescuing the mining family from the mm-hmm. Nihil.
Yes.
Piloted one and then used the Force to pilot the other one.
Because there's like a connection. And that was another thing that I want to talk about too, is how like they all like how the Force connects to them and then how they also perceive the Force is really, really interesting. But yeah, she was able to control both of them because the system in that secondary fighter is tuned to have Force control. That's wild. Like, where did all this tech go?
I don't know. I'm sure they'll have
it. It blows my mind. And this is like early on. Like, the galaxy is going through a renaissance at this point. Like, they're finding themselves. They're developing. They're becoming better than they were. And so, like, at the point at which we meet the Jedi for the first time in Episode 1, like if we're looking at a chronological order, we're looking at the beginnings of the Clone Wars and all that stuff. Like, where'd all this tech go? And then, like, why did the Jedi give it all up? Like, yes, they are supposed to be guardians and not these soldiers, but at the same time, like, they also have to be able to defend themselves. And why did they get rid of this highly sophisticated technology that is attuned to the Force wielders? Like, that's wild to me.
You want
to
hear a Easter egg?
Sure.
The design of the Vectors was taken from Revenge of the Sith concept art designed by Warren Fu. So it was concept
really?
Art they never used in Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, that's cool. That's very, very neat. I love that.
Have you seen them? Because they're in the children's book in the comics.
The Vectors? No.
Here you go. Popping in your DMs. They're on Wikipedia, chat, if you want to see what they look like. They're very cool looking. And understanding the dynamics of what they can do is...
I remember when we were looking at the pictures of the ships a couple weeks ago, I remember looking at these, and they reminded me a lot of V-Wings. They're like a small, like the way that they're described, they sounded like V-Wings, just a lighter, like gutted out version, which essentially they are. They even talk about that. They even talk about how the ship is just like its internals and whatnot are very bare minimum so that the Jedi can feel every little pitch and change of the ship. And I thought that was really cool. They talk a lot about how, like, just the Jedi are just tuned to everything that they do. And it's not just the tools that they use, but the people that they interact with. Like, these are very, very different Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing. I was like, when does the teaching change? Because, like, the way that they go about behaving and using their abilities and using their lightsabers and, like, how they just, like, portray themselves is very, very different.
I'm still trying to figure out who Elfrona was the planet it happened on, right?
Elfrona? Yeah.
But who was the one that flew both of them? Because that was such a cool part.
Oh, I don't remember. But yes, that was a very, like, that's as they were trying to rescue the farmer family from the Nihil.
Which that whole scene was interesting. First of all, the accents on the family being Scottish threw me for a loop.
By the way, chat, or you people who are listening, when Kevin and I did our read through of Light of the Jedi, we did it on audio tape read by Mark Thompson. And so funny, I can tell when he uses some of the same voices that I've heard him using, like Thrawn.
Yeah.
And then also, yeah, there was a couple voices that he did are just like, that's interesting. Why did we go with that? Wait, did that change? Because like at one point they start out Scottish and then they change.
I enjoyed when he did Buryaga and he went from the Wookiee tones to Galactic Basic, like in the same sentence. That was fun.
Well, that was also really cool. We got our first Wookiee Jedi. Well, I mean Padawan, but still.
No, he's not the first.
No, like in this story, yes, like, you know, yes, like we finally, like, we really get to see a Woody Jedi. We finally get to see a Woody. More Wookiee Jedi. We got to see the little one that was in like Clone Wars. That was cool. Like the way that he, and again, like the way that he perceives the Force and how he sees it is very, very different from how Avar Chris feels the Force and how she sees it. And it's just like, that is also another really cool thing that we've never really touched on before.
He sees it as an ocean, right?
He does. Yeah. He sees it as like waves and whatnot. And then like Avar Chris sees it as
like
music.
A web, a network. Oh yeah, no, she's music. You're right. The song of the Force.
She sees it as music. And then she like listens to the different notes and whatnot. But she actually, her power is interesting because she can like, she ends up creating, like you said, a web. She's connecting everybody together when they're like in battle.
It's battle meditation.
She's going to be like, I'm terrified to see her like out in battle.
Tim and I were saying before the show, because of the stuff with Elzar Man at first, you're like, okay, they're friends. They grew up together.
Hard
brother sister relationship where they argue and you know she's like, oh, he uses the Force for unconventional means, and then by the end of the book she's like, I want to get drunk and dance with you, and we're
no, there is so much sexual tension between those two. Holy crap.
Oh boy.
Yeah,
she's super powerful and he's super curious.
Yeah, but he also seems to be pretty powerful himself.
He does, but he says even he can't pull off the things he wants to use the Force for a lot of the time at one point.
Yeah.
Which leads me to believe that she's a lot more powerful than him.
Yeah.
Also, her station and her position, although it's not based on power, but maybe her just ability to use the Force.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel like they have an interesting journey ahead of them, the two of them, even though they're like, we won't see each other again. I'm like, yeah, bullshit. One of you is going to cause the other one to fall to the dark side, because that's the thing, is there's no Sith, there's no, you know, there's the dark side. They mention it like
yeah,
twice.
Well, so there's mention. They mention Sith once. They talk about one of
the
Jedi.
Crystal, right?
Sorry.
The lightsaber crystal, right? The Kyber crystal.
They talk about so we get to listen about the purification of a red Kyber crystal again, which I thought was absolutely awesome. She ends up purifying it for fun. It was nothing more than just a lesson. She was literally just doing a task, and it was a red Kyber crystal from a Sith spear, which I thought was really, really cool.
Whose spear?
And that's all we heard.
Whose spear?
Exactly. Yeah, that's also what I'm curious about.
Where was the spear? How did it get to her?
I want to know what we get to hear about a new new slash old weapon, a lightsaber spear, which I'm very, very intrigued by. And then also, where did she get it from? Who did it belong to? So that's very, very interesting to me.
I thoroughly like these. So I'm a, and this I guess comes from my love of the Old Republic. I love Jedi getting curious and going out and searching for answers about how they feel there's more to the Force and they can learn more, get more power, become more powerful,
yeah,
whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And that always doesn't lead to good things for that Jedi. And I can't wait for the first one to go off in this series.
Well, Yoda's out there doing stuff.
Their description of Yoda was so interesting.
He was on sabbatical is what they said, which I thought was really interesting. I was like, what's Yoda doing out there by himself, huh?
They even said that he goes and he's got his own thing going on. He's on the council, but
he's on the council, but he wasn't there because he was off doing his own thing. He doesn't show up until the very end.
Yeah, he comes to Starlight Beacon with a bunch of younglings.
Yep.
Or Padawans, I think.
So Starlight younglings? Beacon, yeah. This is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time we hear about this superstructure that's out in the Outer Rim.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna make it to.
So they're making mold. It's not. There's not just one.
Yeah,
the whole idea is to have this interconnected deep space network of these Starlight beacons. So one, either they all get blown up at some point. Two, they run out of funding. Or three, they get weaponized by the Nihil.
I'm gonna go with three.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking. I think Starlight Beacon's gonna like that's gonna get overrun, and it's gonna get turned into a weapon, which will then inadvertently turn into option one, where it just gets blown up.
What if it's not the Nihil and it's the other ones that the guy has the vision of at the end?
Oh, yeah. There's more than one bad guy, which I think is really cool.
What the hell?
But let's talk about
called?
That. Let's talk about the Nihil.
The Drengir.
Yeah. So the Nihil are really interesting. We'll go back and say again, it's like Mad Max, but in the Star Wars universe, which is really cool. And they have a really cool rule, Kevin, which I thought was really interesting. The rule of three, which I thought was really, really neat. So the way that the Nihil work is that they are based off of like a storm setup. Essentially, you have the Eye of the Storm, which is the leader. And then you have Tempest, which are like the commanders of the different divisions. And then after the Tempest, you have Clouds, and then you have Strikes. And so Strikes are like your grunts, your Clouds are like your sergeants, and then your Tempests are the ones that lead your sergeants, which I thought was really, really cool.
Hold on, go back to Starlight Beacon. Somebody said something in chat. Many years later in 3ABY, Commander Grek of the Rebel Alliance used the station as inspiration for Operation Starlight, a plan to reassemble the Alliance fleet following its fracture after the Battle of Hoth.
Where the hell was that? Where the hell is that?
Comics.
Oh, God damn it.
So it's still there. Dang, they just killed all of the fun that Tim and I were having in our head with the Nihil and the Drengir.
Okay, so hold on.
Thanks for ruining our night.
Okay, so Operation Starlight was a Rebel Alliance mission, the objective of which was to reassemble the Alliance fleet after it scattered following the Battle of Hoth. Commander Grek of the 4th Division derived the plan's name from the Starlight Beacon, a navigational station that had been constructed in the High Republic era. The operation proved successful as the Alliance fleet reassembled at Sullust prior to the Battle of Endor. What? When does this show up?
Comics.
Yeah, but when? Well, where? Which? It's just called Star Wars.
Ah, good.
It's a comic called Star Wars.
That narrows it down.
It shows up in Star Wars. Okay, so it's first mentioned in Star Wars 2, in Star Wars Episode 3, in Star Wars 6, 8, and 9. Also shows up in 10 and 11. Holy crap, Kevin. This apparently becomes a very, very strong... I had no idea this... When did these comics come out? Last year, apparently.
Well, now you have the Marvel login. I gave it to you over the weekend.
Now
you can start
I have
going
to read
nuts.
Up on comics, so this is very, very interesting.
Just remember, we need to use the company card when we get new comics because it's an expense for the show.
Holy crap. Okay. Well, this is very interesting to me. It's just like... This was never mentioned. I mean, it's cool that they're wrapping it all together.
Add it to the list.
It's all right. We learned something new. Apparently, Starlight Beacon continues to stay in operation of some sort.
That doesn't mean the Nihil can't occupy it for a little while.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue. You were talking about the rule of three.
The rule of three. So we got the Eye of the Storm, who is, I'm pretty sure, inspired by Uldren from Destiny 2.
He looks like Uldren, description-wise, and maybe chat knows what race he is because you were asking me and I didn't know. But the cadence of his voice is, I don't know, it's so... In the beginning, you're like, okay, this guy's kind of an idiot. But by the end, you're like, okay, he's unstable and I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean... He definitely plays... So Marcion plays like the scared... like, oh, my daddy's dead, kind of like, I don't know what I'm doing. In the beginning, like, that's the vibe that I get. He feels very unsure of himself, or he comes across as being, like, really unsure. He's letting the Tempests do, he's letting, like, Kossiv and Lorna D, it seems like he's, like, letting them just kind of do their thing. And I think he was getting really comfortable, maybe it's just him just being really comfy with how things have been in the Outer Rim. But once the emergency started happening, that's when he was like, okay, the Republic's getting involved, the Jedi are here, it's time to like kick it into overdrive. But like, I'm really interested as to how he like why does it feel like he's got some type of like force sensitivity, or he has messed with the Jedi in the past. Like, there was something at the end of the book where I was like, this doesn't feel right.
I have a feeling he has, or his maybe his father has some sort of run-in with the Jedi, because he was super cautious about staying away from them.
Yeah.
And he even goaded Kossev, because when Kossev was like, oh, we're going to cut and run, and he was like, I thought you said you wanted to kill one of them for your trophy wall or whatever the line was. So Marchion has, because none of the other, they're called Tempests, the other three? No, that's their group.
Pretty sure the like Lorna D and Kossev and I'm pretty sure those three
Tempest
those
Runners.
The
Tempest Runners, they're called.
Okay, yeah, okay.
I just looked it up. So the
leaders are Tempest Runners, and then the Tempests.
The Tempest Runners knew, like, they knew about the Jedi, but none of them were scared. They didn't care. Right. Marchion seemed to have some sort of innate fear of them, which I found interesting. Versus, you know, Pan Ada seemed a little bit cautious, but Lorna and Kossev couldn't seem like they could give a shit less.
Yeah.
Especially Kossev. What was the race of the planet that Kossev accidentally blew up the moon?
Oh, the ones that were like...
They sounded very Mandalorian.
They're not, though, because they mentioned Mandalorians.
Yes.
They mentioned them, and they're like, we haven't, like, they've been very quiet. We haven't heard of them in a while, which I thought was really interesting. The race that he pisses off, I was like, man, these guys are cool. I'm sure someone will.
I'm gonna look up Kossev right now on Wikipedia and see if it mentions.
It's not.
I didn't pick up the Kossev.
Is it Iriadu? Is it the Iriadans? It's not that one. Anyways, he ends up holding one of the planets hostage, which I thought was really interesting. And it ends up getting one of the emergences and just blowing up one of their moons, as he promised that he could save them, because they end up learning about where all these things are going to take place.
They're a mix of Ubesi? Was that the name of it? Zabrix and Iridonians? So it's a Zabrix planet?
Oh, but they seem a lot more.
Ubesi, hold on, I got it. Canon, Ubesi were a sentient species that. No, oh, you're saying Orr. Okay, the Ubesi is who Leia pretends to be in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Is that Artemis? Is that the group of people that live on the planet? I know Zabrica from Iridonia or from Dathomir. Is that the group of people, or we're not sure? I'm legitimately asking. I'm lost on this. All I remember is thinking, like, these people are badass.
No, they were super cool, because they talk about how they wanted to hunt this guy down.
But all they did, but it sounded like Mando, because they talked about how there was just constant infighting.
Yeah, very much so, like Mandalorians, but they're not. But, like, I want to see more of those species that are, like, just very Mandalorian-esque. Did you figure it out?
Nope.
Oh, well.
Moving on.
Anyways, so I think the Nihil are... I think this is a bad guy that we need in Star Wars, where they're not, like... They're not crazy force wielders. You know, it isn't the Sith. But these are just these really badass guys. And I really like the Mad Max vibe. I didn't know how I was gonna feel about it, but they really dressed it up in a really fun way. Like it wasn't even spice. What was the drug that they were doing?
Oh, they were listening to punk rock, and
they were listening to punk rock, and they were riding the way. They were riding the storm, and they'd get gassed up on this thing,
getting so high.
But there was like they were talked about how like they could only take so much, and if they just kept going they'd mess up. And there was like one guy who ended up he kept taking the thing and then ended up killing himself. Again, this story is dark. They do drugs, they kill themselves, a lot of people die.
Can we talk about their base? No space
is cool.
Super cool.
It's just a big floating. It's just a big, big.
It's like
ship.
A platform.
It's like a big ship that every time they cut to that part in the book, I always thought of like a big feast table, like very like Scandinavian style, like with torches and chains and wood everywhere, very dark. That's how I always saw that, and like, you know, like big speakers, and like someone just like jamming out on a guitar.
Mad Max.
Yeah, very Mad Max style. Yeah, that's what I heard.
But then they said even
time.
Space, like there was all these colors and things out in space by where they were. So it had to be maybe in the chaos or somewhere out there, like really far. Because if they can manipulate hyperspace lanes, they could be literally anywhere.
Yeah, I just assume
and
that
it's literally
was just
called No Space, which is so cool.
Yeah, well, they could, and like it was like suspended. There was like force fields, right? Because they could just like walk to the edge, and like they could see out into space.
I got the vibe that it
was the platform.
I got the vibe that it was the same technology they use in the bays of the ships in the Star Wars universe.
Mm-hmm. like those little force fields.
Epicanthix is the name of the race. Let's look them up. Epicanthix. Found it. The Epicanthus were a warrior species of near humans native to the Outer Rim in the world of Panatha. So they were human in appearance, just like the Mandos. They evolved from a forgotten colonization effort many millennia ago.
Oh, that's cool.
So they're basically humans, and
they just forgot. They were forgotten about.
Well, that's
and
how
so
they evolved,
and, so they,
and now
and
they
so
have
they
a
just
society.
Survived on their own and became their own people. That's so cool. I love that. That's very neat. That's very cool.
Yeah. So that's who they are. Apparently, there's one of. Huh. Apparently, there's a representative from there in the prequel trilogy in the background of one of the movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This is. I'm in a rabbit hole. Sorry. Let's move on.
Evan's just going down the rabbit hole.
I love this stuff because then I click, especially on Wikipedia, because you click one thing and then you click another thing, and,
then,
and you're
and
so far away
you.
From
it's
your.
It's like being on a. It's like being on a Facebook video.
Yes.
You just keep going down the cats and wood carving and sea shanties videos.
Yeah, but thank you, Artemis. That's cool. Maybe that'll be some sort of fight for the Mandalorians in the future. Who knows? Carlos on Facebook said, so this is not a story for kids. So if you want a story for your children, depending on their age, A Test of Courage might interest them. I can't stand that book. I think it's pretty awful. I'm about.
I listened to it for about 10 minutes and like.
I made it to an hour and a half and I'm getting nothing out of it. It's just very dry.
Feels like a book that your kid could read alongside you and you could talk about things in the universe, but you're getting like. I was expecting a story to the same equivalence as Light of the Jedi, but you know, like in a like a more.
Less drugs.
Yeah, you know, like definitely toned down, but like the same level of like lore telling, I guess, and like world building. And I just I'm not getting it. And so I'm just not as entertained.
Yeah.
Which is okay. It's not like it's not designed for me. It's a young adult story.
So I'm probably going
to. It's not targeted to me. So I'm not going to talk crap about it because it's not meant for me.
Yeah, I just.
It's just not enjoyable.
It.
As a 30-year-old male, it's not fun. For me personally,
I am personally probably just going to watch a YouTube video on the plot. And
yeah,
I'm on chapter 8, New Nerd, and I'm completely disinterested in it. Maybe even chapter 9 at this point. So yeah, I'm going to watch a YouTube video, call it a day, and move on to the comic.
I'm now very excited to read more of these comics. I'm kind of bummed that I waited so long to do it.
Well, you got Vader in there too.
I know.
You can read. And then the Kylo Ren's.
And there's Dr. Aphra, and there's so much stuff.
Oh, there's a ton of comics. There's like 7 more Vader comics you can read.
Oh, God.
And I mean graphic novel, like series, not just one comic book.
Yeah.
So
Speaking of books coming out and things, so we've got the new book coming out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We end Light of the Jedi with Marcion Roe and Great Storm on the bridge of No Space.
Yes.
And like at that point,
isn't there another Jedi with Loden too?
So it's Marcion, Loden, Great Storm, and the dad, the farmer dad.
Ah, I knew.
Because remember, he was in the spaceship together, and then the Nihil attack the ship, and they get gassed.
Yep.
And so Lorna D takes them back to Marcion, and like the way that he's described of wielding the lightsaber over Great Storm was like, it was really eerie. Like I got goosebumps the way that he was being described. He's just like waving this thing around, like, and the way that he was like twirling it and whatnot made me really feel like this person is experienced. He's wielded this type of weapon before. I'm really, really interested to see where we pick up tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say, like, I'm so, because my assumption is that we are picking up right where this book left off. At least that's how I understood how these two books worked. Am I correct?
I was told that it goes book, Test of Courage, comic, but we both said Kossov's still alive in the beginning of Test of Courage. So that's not correct.
Well, okay, so, but Test of Courage, like, Kossov is still alive, which makes me feel like that Test of Courage is happening during Light of the Jedi.
Also, I don't know if this will pick up with the Nihil into the dark as much as introduce the Drengir.
Interesting. So you don't think that we'll see Marcion?
I think we will hear about the events of Legacy Run, the opening of Starlight Beacon, there's a captured Jedi by the Nihil. Like, you'll hear everything.
So do you think we'll meet up with Jedi Master Chris? Or
I think this is, this book, if I'm not mistaken, is about a new Jedi. Wreath Sylas is his name.
Okay, so we're gonna meet a whole slew of new characters.
Yeah, Larre. These are the character names. I don't know, have much information on them. Okay. Larre, Simix, Tira, Mirabel, Lorman, Geektu, Perret La, Keem, Orla Jereni, Comac Vitus, and Dez Ryden.
So we're gonna get a completely. Wow, we're gonna get a. Okay. So my assumption, I was excited just to pick back up with Marcion, and where we leave off with them.
So the reason I think they're going to introduce the Drengir is because one of the comic book covers has the Drengir on it, and this one's supposed to release soon, and it has those two twins you were looking at. The Transdotion Jedi, Skeer. I don't know who the fourth one is.
So the Drengir are going to be the plant type people, right?
I'm getting Flood vibes from them.
Yeah, and that's what they look like in the concept art. They look very like hentai almost with leaves like that. Like, yeah, like you said, like hive.
But yeah, well, I think it was confirmed that they're hive mind.
Okay, so they
it was confirmed that they're hive mind. I could be wrong. Let me look and see what Wikipedia says.
Yeah, I'm reading it right now. So the Drengir were sentient, amorphous, carnivorous plant life. Who threatened to reap harvest across the galactic frontier. Oh, so they're the Flood.
Yeah.
Reap harvest across the galactic frontier in the aftermath of the Great Disaster during the High Republic era. So the Great Disaster, I would assume,
is the Legacy Run.
So during the Legacy, so this is happening during that. So these two stories are happening in tandem.
So we'll hear about the events that we already know as they happen from Light of the Jedi, and then so the Drengir are definitely the other thing that these Jedi are going to discover. I wonder if Elzar Mann's vision what was happening to the people in this book, not something that might happen in the future, but something that was actually happening. Or Elzar Mann's vision has nothing to do with the Drengir at all, and it's something that we're not ready for yet.
Interesting. So it says the Drangir were a danger to the galaxy and the Jedi, and one amongst the latter had their fate inescapably linked to the plants. Interesting. Oh, man. I'm excited about this story. Because these, like, I'm looking at the concept drawing for the Drangir, and they are terrifying. This is some nightmare fuel stuff.
I'm not talking about Elzarman's story. I'm talking about the vision he had at the end.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool, though. That so these are gonna, we're gonna have two stories that are happening the exact same. That actually make me want to go back and read this again and see if I can catch things. That's cool. I love
no,
it.
No, I don't think that's what'll make them the Jedi that we know. That's too soon. They have a three-year plan for the releases of these books and stuff.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, we're way too soon to have that fracture happen. I think they're going to want to release more info. I'm sure there's enemies
remember,
we have no idea
remember
about.
Remember, we're also going to be getting Acolyte, which is the ending of the High Republic.
Which is going to be that Jedi I just talked about.
So the Acolyte show, again, chat, and listeners in the future, the Acolyte show that comes out in 2023, I think is when they have it slated. I might be wrong, 2024. That is supposed to happen at the tail end of the High Republic. So that's when we'll start to see the deviations and whatnot. And it starts to become the Star Wars that you know and love.
I wonder if eventually they'll drop us off at the front door, if you will.
Oh, kind of like if you watch Rogue One and it leads and it drops you
maybe
off.
Maybe not right that close,
four.
But maybe, you know, like a young Senator Palpatine.
Could you imagine, though, is like the end of it all, the end, like whatever it is, it just drops you off right at the beginning of episode one. You could have this like perfect circle of just like if you watch all of it, you'll end up just starting up right where you left, like right where you end right where you started, which I think would be really cool.
I mean, that's my favorite part about watching Rogue One and episode four back to back is just
Have you watched the actual cut when it goes from Rogue One into episode four?
Yeah, the YouTube cut where it shows you and it's seamless.
It's so good. It's
seamless.
Perfect. It is perfection.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was Jon Favreau confirmed that Mandalorian is dropping us off at the front door of The Force Awakens. So we're gonna get time skips.
Oh shit. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was an article about it.
Well, that's cool. I've also speaking of John, he has a cooking show on Netflix. Just completely side, just tangent. He's got a cooking show on Netflix, and Amy and I started binging it. Go watch that if you're a fan of John Favreau. Really good. Carry on.
No. Why the Jedi push hard on the no attachment thing? I feel like they're already pushing hard. Because the whole situation with Elzarman and Avar Kriss, and then even to have Ember the dog with them on the planet, they had to come up with a crafty excuse for making him part of the team. So I don't think the no attachment thing is something that is going to be introduced or enforced. Maybe enforced a little bit more, but it feels pretty rigid at this point anyway.
Yeah, that's not a new thing. Well, they also explain it, too, with the whole attachment.
These Jedi seem to care a lot more about folk. I mean, the Jedi we meet are also about to enter a war. It's a very, very... This was my thing with reading this, is... The Jedi we know, when we meet them, they're already basically getting ready to hunt their ancient enemy.
Well...
Which turns into a distraction with a war.
When we first meet a Jedi, our first ever Jedi interaction is an old hermit who has been beat up and battered and bruised and hunted. And so, like, that Jedi is just a shell of himself. Like, that is a poor excuse for a Jedi at that point. And then our entire, like, how we perceive a force wielder is completely changed again when you get to Kevin's point, these Jedi that are essentially getting ready to become soldiers.
I mean, watch Clone Wars. They all comment on the fact that they shouldn't be commanders and lieutenants and soldiers.
No, they still, like, at the very core of these Jedi, they understood that they were supposed to be guardians. They weren't supposed to be these generals. They weren't supposed to be the ones to initiate combat. They were supposed to finish it. And I feel like that's definitely, that's described more in the High Republic as like that's the more pure,
they're guardians,
Jedi form. Yeah, they are the guardians. Like they're there to intervene. They're there to help.
Even the delineation, the Republic, like when we meet Chancellor So,
yeah,
and the way that Chancellor So has to go about getting help from the Jedi is,
yes,
far different than the way that what's his name, the one before Palpatine, Chancellor Valorum and Chancellor,
yes,
Palpatine treat the Jedi, night and day. So I know everyone, because you're all little Hot Topic edgelords, want to jump immediately to blaming the Jedi and being evil, but the political landscape is also going to change, and I'm equally as excited to see that take place as I am to see the Jedi as an order change over time. And I really, really want to get in Yoda's head now, because I want to understand where he's at and then look at where he is 200 years later and,
yes,
understand. I want to see if he changes. I want to see how he changes, and I want to see why he changes. Or I want to know, is he's been like, well, this is the way it is, and this is what the Force does. I don't know. We don't know. We don't know about Yoda yet.
Yeah. No, we literally hear his name, and then we see him at the very end.
It's very
for just a brief moment.
It's very exciting to know that he's on a sabbatical too, Tim. Because
I know that's what I was saying, is like, what is he doing on his sabbatical?
It opens up the door for Dark Yoda.
What dark side stuff is he playing around with?
In Legends canon, he was screwing around with the dark side.
I know.
They confirm it.
That's what
in
I
Clone Wars
thought of.
They confirm it in Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Yoda, when he's on, it's not Corbin. Was it on Corbin?
No. That's when he was out with the whisper with the wisps.
So wherever he is, and it grabs him and says, why don't you play with me anymore?
Don't you play with me anymore?
Like, I feel like there's a connection here. Maybe I'm the only one.
No.
But I feel
I'm definitely on board with you on that one.
My dude Yoda needing a break is not a coincidence here. I'm waiting. I think we're gonna Moriban. You can call it both. It was confirmed. Why every week do we have to have this argument?
Every week, dude. I feel like we should just drop a Moriban or a Korriban just to piss somebody off.
Well, I say Korriban to see who's not paying attention. I am curious though how far down the timeline we're gonna get. I do like you said, that we're gonna see stuff that happening at the same time, but
yes,
I do want to know, when do we go back and see some stuff a little bit before, you know? If Yoda is dabbling in the dark side, is that going to be its own story?
I would hope so. If not a book, it'll be a comic, apparently, because everything cool is a comic now.
Tim, you have a log.
To find out.
You got a login, bud. Just pop it on the iPad. Do you put it on the iPad and read it in bed?
I know.
Are you mad that you can't have comic on audio?
Yes, actually.
Have Mark Thompson read.
Kevin, you don't. It's so convenient. I'm running on the treadmill or the elliptical, and I've got them in my ears. It's so easy. It's perfect. I love it.
We're still at the end. No, we're not at the end. There's plenty more to go here. I'm not saying that. But there's definitely backstory that we're, you know, it's looking at a puzzle, and we're forming this side, but there's some stuff that we have to get to over here that probably happened before. I don't know. That's not really a puzzle. Everything cool has always been in a comic. Fair.
I know.
Let's talk about, how much time do we have? Oh, not a lot. Okay, let's fly through this.
First of all, Kevin.
First of all, we want to thank our patrons, patreon.com/raredrop, for supporting us. We have one
Thanks
question
for keeping the lights on.
From Steamboat at Patreon. And it says, what is the biggest question this book left to be answered for each of you personally? I think I've explained it in totality, just the mindset of the Jedi and the political landscape and how we get from the this to that.
Yeah, I have to agree.
Because I don't feel it's just the order. I feel like the politics. And we see the politics with the shipping or trade the leader of that guy that wanted to open the hyperspace lanes, like, in chapter two?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
We see the politics. I don't think the guy's wrong. I don't think, you know, he's doing anything bad. But at the same time, you know, I don't know.
I have to agree. I did, yeah.
So thank you, patrons, for being awesome. And patreon.com/retro. We actually have some cool stuff planned. I don't know if Ben spoke to Tim yet about what he wants him to do this month for Valentine's Day, but...
I'm not wearing lingerie.
Nope. You don't have to wear anything. Well, no, you can wear your regular clothes.
I'm not stripping for them, Kevin.
You can wear your clothes.
I'm not stripping for them.
I didn't mean it like that.
No.
You can wear your clothes.
I meant it didn't
have anything to do with clothes.
Okay.
You can keep all your clothes on.
Perfect.
Actually, there was... Nope, that wasn't for this month. That was for something else. We'll talk about it after the show in DS.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
So this week, or last week rather, there was a metric shit ton of information, or not information, rumors flying around about the Old Republic. Again, and it's funny because Tim and I said last week.
Yeah, I thought that was, the timing was impeccable.
What if Coder, it sounds like we have insider information. I swear up and down, we know nothing about any of this. But what if Coder is not being made by EA?
I love that we talked about that. And this article comes out.
Yeah. And then on top of that, we also said, what if the Old Republic is being introduced to the video game universe? And that's where it's going to
live. I swear this has come from Kevin and I's head. We don't have anyone that's on
the
inside.
We have zero information.
I swear we haven't broken any friendias, NDAs, MNDAs. We haven't.
So
there's nothing that has been signed.
Coder 1 and Coder 2 remastered supposedly are coming this year. Not like Final Fantasy VII, just ported and controller friendly.
We talked about that. We said that if they were going to do it, they weren't going to rehash the game. They were going to start from the ground up. They were literally going to take the game and just give it a fresh coat of paint, and that was it.
Right. So, which means a new Coder that will be canon will be the new game. And EA apparently, according to the rumors, is not working on it.
Which blows my mind.
I think they fell out of their good graces with the original Battlefront Infraction.
That and also BioWare is a wreck right now.
Oh, all the Anthem rumors?
Well, I mean, Anthem rumors, the Dragon Age stuff.
What happened with Dragon Age? Oh, the guy quit.
The writers that were that left, the shit that was going on internally. There is so much stuff going on.
And the game director quit, right?
Yeah, the people walked out.
Yeah, so I'm sure Lucasfilm does not want BioWare touching it. So
Which sucks. My
brain immediately goes to two things. One, who did they just recently give a game contract to?
Bethesda?
Yep, and who else can do storytelling as good as BioWare?
Bethesda's, yeah, but their games have been rough, though.
That's the problem. Like, Bethesda's storytelling is fantastic. Bethesda's gameplay is 90% of the time horrendous.
It's not. Like, I feel like, okay, for me, a Jedi game now has to be, like, Fallen Order. I just, like, if the combat doesn't feel like Fallen Order, I'm going to have a hard time with it.
Obsidian could be, because Obsidian did Coder, too.
But I do not think it's going to be a turn-based combat game.
No, it's going to be action.
That will not hold up in this day and age.
It'll be a single-player RPG.
Anyone out there that thinking that a new Knights of the Old Republic is going to be like old school, sorry.
It will be like God of War. It will be like Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah,
it will
be like Fallen Order. Like that's
Fallen
how
Order.
The game needs to be.
But Fallen Order is more of the Metroidvania. This will be armor slots, lightsaber crafting, you want to go dual blaster. Like, that's the type of game it'll be.
I just hope they don't try to do a Fallout thing with it.
I mean, that's Bethesda, but Obsidian could, but Obsidian's also working on that huge fantasy RPG that's supposed to be bigger than Skyrim, apparently.
Oh, is that the one they showed off during the Game Awards?
Yeah, that looked fantastic.
Yeah, that looks wild.
So, I don't know.
Avowed. That's what that one's called.
Santa Monica is working on God of War 2 and God of War 3 because it's a trilogy. And it's also, they're a Sony studio. And I don't think this will be a platform exclusive. I don't think anyone wants to make a Star Wars game platform exclusive because the money you could make off of sales, I don't think any gaming publisher is going to front that kind of money.
Well,
because it's
remember,
Star Wars. Avowed, thank you.
Yeah, but yeah, but remember, it's not like the publisher is Lucas Games.
Right, but you'd still need to go play exclusive. You still need money from Sony.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were saying that a studio would want to go for the money. I'm like, Lucas doesn't need the money. They have more money than God.
No. I'm saying somebody has to pay for the exclusivity all in there. So maybe publisher wasn't the right word. Platform.
Sony or Xbox would end up paying them for the exclusivity to have it on their platform.
Right. And I don't think Lucas is. They're like, no, sales will be far outweigh that.
Yeah. No one's going to want to play around with Star Wars money.
What if it's Insomniac?
Insomniac Games would be interesting.
They're owned by Sony, though. But Sony did just announce today that MLB The Show is going to be on Xbox now.
Insomniac would be really, really interesting. They nailed both Spider-Mans, but I don't know. God, that would be wild. That would actually be really insane.
It's got to be someone we know.
Yeah, it's got to be someone who has a good track record. Like, that's the thing. Is like, you're not going to get some, like, crazy, like, almost indie dev level developer coming in and, like, producing this game. Like, it's going to be somebody who's pumped out some really stellar games in the past. It'll be interesting. It'll be very, very interesting. We're going to have to talk about it before we end the night. Why did you tag me in this dark Jar Jar?
I mean, it's pretty cool looking, too.
Why? Well, okay, but it's not just you. I saw it in my Facebook groups. I had a ton of people tweeted at me. Where did this come from and why?
Well, I couldn't tell you that. I just saw it and I thought of you immediately.
Okay, so the one thing that I can say is that if Gungans looked like this, it didn't have the, oh, Misa, so happy! If they looked like this and sounded like,
hello, Jedi.
Like, yeah, dude, I would eat that up.
We met a Gungan Nihil in the book.
Yeah, and he still sounds stupid like Jar Jar. Okay, boss man. He reminds me of Belters from what's the show on Amazon?
Expanse.
The Expanse. Like, that's what he sounds like to me, is like a Belter.
Belta Loda,
boss man.
They do start to annoy me, the Belters, after a while.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, like, this is cool. It's neat. Pretty dope. Darth Jar Jar, pretty cool.
All right,
we're just evil Gungan.
Ready to blow through these questions?
Let's do it, Kevin.
Do you expect the new KOTOR to be about Revan? I think if you tried to change the story of KOTOR to not be about Revan, if you think people had issues with The Last Jedi, you will see a backlash unlike you've ever seen anything before. You will just...
How dare they? How dare they take the KOTOR name and smudge it without using Revan? How dare they? I blame Kathleen Kennedy.
So, yes. I demand a reenactment of Tim's reaction to there being a Gungan in The Last Jedi. Oh, the Light of the Jedi.
I think it was like... That was probably it. I know I was in the gym. I know I was doing... I was lifting something because I had to stop. And I was like, ugh.
Are you guys going to read A Test of Courage? We tried. We both don't like it.
I can't. I try. I really did. I swear I gave it the college try. And by college try, I listened to the beginning of a class and then walked out.
We talked about that. Jar Jar to the moon, sure. Damn, we should do Jar Jar coin.
Diamond hands, dude.
We should do Jar Jar coin.
No, we shouldn't.
Also, I just bought more AMC before the stream.
God. Poor GME.
Buybacks this week, dude. We talked about that. And Werewood wants to know, how did you guys feel about them explaining multiple ways that Mace Windu would have survived a fall from the Chancellor's office? Thank you! You know, I meant to say that when they were training, who was that? When Loden was training Bell, and I'm like, Mace totally could have survived with this exact training that Bell is getting right now.
Okay, hold on. He didn't have his hands chopped off or force shocked out of a window.
Hand.
How, like, Mace was under in like, extreme duress, pain, and suffering, and was launched out of a window. At a very, very high speed.
Loden also mentioned it takes minutes to fall on Coruscant.
From the really, really high building.
How? You don't think the Chancellor's office is one of the really, really high buildings?
Did you see the traffic he was thrown out into?
That was air traffic.
Yeah.
If you're navigating
traffic,
to
Kevin,
hit the ground.
I guarantee you got hit by a couple cars on his way down. The dude's dead. Let him die.
Nah, he'll be back.
Oh, Tim, it's just like Boba Fett. He was eaten by the Sarlacc and he's fine.
Old
shut up.
Freaking gray bearded Mace is going to be in season 3 of Mando and he's going to walk in there and he's going to be like, there's too many Empire on this mother... Oh, it didn't work. Ship.
No. Next question.
And then he's gonna.
Next question. Hate it here.
Thank you for watching episode 34 of Star Wars and Scotch, or listening depending on when you're consuming this content. Tim and I appreciate you as always. You can go over to raredrop.co and catch up on all the episodes. This has been the technically the book club episode, but we didn't brand it because the branding's not done because we're working on some other stuff. We're very busy at Raredrop.
This
right
gray
now.
Hair here, Chad, is your fault.
It's probably my fault more than anything. Is that the Jar Jar hair or the Mace hair?
Yes. Probably some Boba Fett in there, too.
Boom! Thank you so much again for hanging out with us. You can go to kingscoastcoffee.com and get that delicious coffee. If you want to support us further, you can go to patreon.com/raredrop. Make sure your questions get asked every week on all of the shows. Tim, I'm sending us to hyperspace so you can go to bed because you're a very grumpy Tim. Very grumpy.
I'm just so tired of this Mace Windu crap. I just want it to go away.
It's not going anywhere. Jar Jar never went away. Die. Mace is not going away.
It's just like Boba Fett.
Chat, as always, we appreciate you. You're fantastic. We hope you all have a wonderful evening. We'll see you next Monday for Star Wars and Scotch. Tomorrow night is D&D with the Reckoning Hour crew. Come by, say hello. And as always, Tim, you say it.
Yes, and may the Force be with you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.